Welcome to Big Blue Hits Friday right here on Giants.com. It's all fueled by Hess. The Giants getting ready to take on the San Diego Chargers, a pair of 5-7 teams out on the West Coast. I am John Schmoke. Today we are joined by Lance Meadow. And Lance, do you put a whole lot of credence into this whole lot of travel could affect the team on game day stuff? I really don't.
I think it tends to be blown out of proportion. I think teams have gone coast to coast so much over the last few seasons. Take, for example, the Seahawks. They've done well as they've moved to the East Coast and vice versa. So I think the Giants are well prepared to go for a long trip and be ready to go against the San Diego Chargers.
Now it's time for our Adorama News of the Day. And for that, it's Brandon Jacobs. He practiced during the week, but Lance, it looks like he's going to be doubtful for Sunday. Odds are he probably won't play. What does the loss of Brandon Jacobs mean for this team?
Well, they've had a few running backs that they've utilized over the course of this season. Andre Brown and Peyton Hillis are going to have to do the heavy lifting. This is a team that's had 30 carries at least in four of the last six games. So they have dictated the tempo on the ground. It's just the next guy up. That's the philosophy at this point.
And let's take a look at the rest of the injury report. You take a look at the Giants here. They are getting healthier, but the bad news, Jason Pierre-Paul is not going to play in this game. In the secondary, they are getting a little bit healthier. Looks like Tremaine McBride could go on Sunday. He's being listed as questionable. Corey Webster is being listed as doubtful. Terrell Thomas is out, and Terrell Thomas is probable with that knee injury. Lance, it looks like they won't be quite as shorthanded as they were last week at corner.
Well, they're going to need the depth in the secondary given what San Diego throws out there in terms of their offensive firepower. McBride goes out in the Cowboys game, and it really caught everybody off guard in the secondary. So having him back, I think, will help the rotations.
And if you take a look at the big name on injury report, it is Jason Pierre-Paul. That shoulder injury has bothered him for a couple of weeks, and he's not going to come back until he knows he's 100%.
At the end of the day, I'd rather get healthy than put myself in jeopardy first. You know what I mean? Out there, and I know I can't perform to a level that I can't perform, you know? But like I said, you know, this season been ups and downs for me, but, you know, I can't complain about that. You know, the only thing I can do now is just to get healthy and you know, finish the season off.
And that brings us to our Twitter question from @DaveSchwartz70. Is Jason Pierre-Paul going to play again this season, Lance? What's the deal? Are they better off just letting him rest and coming back 100% next year?
Well, right now the mathematics are against them in terms of making the playoffs. So at this point, you figure, given the fact that he had off-season back surgery, he's dealt with the shoulder injury that has lingered, you might as well consider shutting him down and getting him ready for the 2014 campaign. JPP is trying to get back to Pro Bowl form, and the only way he's going to be able to do that, John, is when he gets back to 100%.
And the last thing you want to have is a setback at the end of this year that could affect his play in 2014. One Giants player that has certainly had a resurgence the last couple of weeks is Brandon Myers. Giants quarterback Eli Manning talked about why Myers has been so effective the last couple of games.
It depends on the week, on when certain pass plays are called, what the coverage is, and he's been doing a good job of winning his one-on-one matchups, and so he's done a good job of getting open when we needed to him, and that's good. That's a big part of our offense, getting that tight end more involved, and he's done a good job.
Myers had 5 catches, 61 yards, and a touchdown in last week's game, Lance. And it really is a better offense when they can get that tight end involved in the middle of the field.
Well, it's another player that the defense has to account for. The fact that he's had 8 receptions for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns in the last 2 games combined is a sign, John, that he's getting more and more acclimated in the offense. This has been a position that they have been yearning for to get consistent production from. Finally, he's starting to break out. Hopefully, that will be a sign of what's yet to come down the stretch.
On the other side of the ball, we mentioned Tremaine McBride will be a game-time decision. He is questionable. Brandon Myers, by the way, is probable with that groin injury. But with McBride out last week, Jaron Hosley came in and played some very good football. Defensive coordinator Perry Field was happy with what he saw from his second-year corner.
Covered well, and so he did some things that we saw in the football game that he was ready to come back and play, and I thought his quickness matched up with some of the quickness that the receivers had from the Redskins, and so be it Hosley or be it McBride or be it Webster, you know, hopefully those guys are getting healthy enough and we're getting strong enough that, you know, we've got some options.
And it's always a good sign when during a football game you do not mention the cornerback's name. And you did not hear Jaron Hosley's name mentioned a bunch last week, Lance. He made some good tackles after guys caught the ball. And I think considering he hasn't played a whole lot this year, You have to be pretty happy with his performance.
As you mentioned, no news is good news when it comes to that situation. And you're right. I think that he was in the rotation. He made his presence felt, and they need the depth given all the injuries that they have had. And he's been lingering with all of these injuries throughout the course of this season. It's important for him to get some reps under his belt, because that's the only way a young guy like Hosley is going to be more and more comfortable with this defense. So that was a step in the right direction last week.
We have plenty more coming up on today's show. We'll get more into the matchup between the Chargers and the Giants and hear more from your Giant players from the locker room. But first, let's take a quick break and look at the 10 things you need to know about this Giants-Chargers rivalry.
Here are the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants-Chargers rivalry. 10, the number of times the Giants have faced the Chargers in team history, with the series split at 5. The Chargers have won the last two meetings in 2005 and 2009. Big Blue last won in 1998 by a score of 34-16 at Qualcomm Stadium. 9. Ernest Gray caught 9 passes in a 1983 home game against the Chargers, the most by any Giant in series history. John Missler in 1983 and Steve Smith in 2009 are tied for second with 8. 8. The Giants have not won on the road against 8 teams in the NFL under Tom Coughlin, including San Diego, albeit one trip. 7. Despite the all-time series being tied, the winner has won by at least 10 points in 7 of the meetings. The only other time the victor didn't win by double digits were in 1983, 1989, and 2009. 6. The Chargers rushed for 268 yards against the Giants in 2005, the 6th most by any team against New York in franchise history. Meanwhile, the Giants have rushed for more than 100 yards 6 times against the Chargers, including a series-high 165 in 1975. 5. The Giants intercepted Chargers quarterback Dan Fouts 5 times in a 1986 victory, their most in series history. Terry Kinnard and Kenny Hill had 2 each for Big Blue, while Mark Collins had 1. 4. The number of trips to Qualcomm Stadium, where the Giants are 2-2 all-time against the Chargers. Their 2 victories came back-to-back trips to San Diego in 1989 and 1998. 3. Charlie Evans rushed for 3 touchdowns in a 1971 victory over the Chargers, the most in series history, and one off Rodney Hampton's franchise record for most in a single game. Hampton had 4 against New Orleans in 1995. 2. The longest winning streak that either team had over the other is 2 games. The Giants won 2 in a row in 1971 and 1975, and again in 86 and 89. Meanwhile, the Chargers won back-to-back meetings in 1980 and 83, and again in 05 and 09. 1.
The first choice in the 2004 NFL draft, the San Diego Chargers select Eli Manning, quarterback, Mississippi.
The number of times Eli Manning has played in San Diego, the city of the team that initially drafted him in 2004. The Giants traded for the first overall pick on draft day in a deal that included fellow first-round quarterback Philip Rivers, who remains the Chargers' starter. The Giants lost the game 45-23, despite Manning throwing for 352 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions.
And that trade and draft back in 2004 certainly setting the stage for the Giants' dynasty in the 2000s with those 2 Super Bowls in the Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning era here with the New York Football Giants. Lance, the offensive line protecting Eli Manning last week, a little bit shaky, but one interesting thing, running the football, they ran a lot better to the right than they did to the left last week.
Now, according to Pro Football Focus, to the right, just over 6 yards per carry, and then to the left, just over one. So huge disparity. And part of that is because on the left side of this line, John, they've had some movable parts. You move Kevin Booth to center, you slide in Brewer at guard. Will Beattie still at the left tackle, but he's had his fair shares of ups and downs this season.
He has. Will Beattie Estrella gave up a couple sacks to Brian Arakpo last week, 10 on the season. Will Beattie spoke to the media in the locker room earlier in the week, and he talked about some of the reasons behind his issues this year.
Overanalyzing, overthinking, trying to, or knowing what you do, but also seeing other people. Like, this is everyone in the league got their own talent, their own ability. We all are different shapes and sizes, so you can't say, he blocked this way, let me block like this because he did this right. Like, my technique last year wasn't the best, some say, but it got the job done.
And that's Beedy talking about his struggles this year and maybe feeling some pressure on that big contract. And that brings us to our next Twitter question. A lot of fans frustrated with this play, Lance. Will the Giants change Will Beedy's position to maybe improve him next year, or will they stick with him at left tackle?
Well, you have to look at the other options that they have. Justin Pugh played left tackle at Syracuse, so he has some comfort there. Brewer is a guy that's been playing guard and tackle. You have some internal options, but at the end of the day, you invested a great deal of money in Will Beedy because he's your guy, and he's one of the top left tackles in the NFL. You can brush this off as a down year and say a full offseason under his belt. Perhaps he gets back to that high level of play.
And I wonder if Beedy's play last week had something to do with the fact he might have been trying to help out James Brewer a lot, who hasn't played left guard a ton. It was his first start of the year, and he had some issues there as well. So you wonder if that continuity wasn't there, and that might have affected Beedy's play as well.
Well, communication is key, John. You can't just expect guys to be thrown on the line. They have to have some comfort next to one another. Another factor I'll throw out there, Brian Arakpo is a very unique pass rusher. And when you're dealing with a linebacker that can really get off the edge, that's a true test for any offensive lineman.
And James Brewer, of course, getting his first start, Lance. This is really a prove-it last few games for him this year. If he wants a chance to start next year, he's got to show it these last four games.
Well, he's had ample opportunities to do that over his first three seasons, John, and sometimes it's been mixed results. So this is an opportunity. Guy gets hurt, next man up. Prove to the coaching staff you belong on the 53-man roster next season, or else they're going to explore other options this offseason.
And this offensive line will be playing a very unfamiliar opponent this week in the San Diego Chargers. Offensive lineman David Deal knows they will have to work extra hard this week to be prepared for an unfamiliar foe.
This week for us is a huge week preparation-wise because this is a team that we're not familiar with. So it's really studying the personnel, studying their defense, studying the looks so that we go there and play our best football regardless of whether it's a West Coast trip, all that stuff. It's going to come down to X's and O's and who plays smarter footballs.
And this is in a situation where the Giants know Tony Romo, they know RG3, they know these NFC East teams, Lance. They really have to prepare for this San Diego team.
Yeah, it's a team that you only see once every 4 years. It's a division that you're not very familiar with. So clearly you got to do some extra studying, watch game film, and look for trends because, as we'll get into a little bit later, John, this San Diego offense is very complex.
And it wasn't just the Giants that did some extra tape work this week. So did Carl Banks in this week's edition of Strategy. Let's take a look.
All right, let's take a look at the San Diego Chargers 34 defense. They've got three down linemen, two linebackers. So the two areas that are most vulnerable against a 34 defense is you run at an area that they call the bubble. This is the bubble, and there's the bubble. You call it a bubble because the guards are uncovered, and then you've got the edge. You always want to threaten the edge or the bubble when running. The challenge for an offense is making sure you do not allow the defensive ends to push you back into the backfield. Here's an outside run. Let's take a look at the defensive end. He is the guy who destroys the play. They want to get a designed outside run to attack this outside linebacker, but it's not possible. Take a look at what he does. He pushes the offensive tackle back into the backfield, which there's nothing, no room there to go. No cutback lane, and the play is minimal. Now, let's take a look at the Chargers offense. They're right on that fringe area, not quite red zone. The guy that you've got to be aware of, tight end Antonio Gates. Now, he's a threat when you get in this close, and the guys who are going to be responsible for him are going to be your linebackers and then your safety, but primarily it's going to come down to this guy making sure he makes contact. His number one read, once he knows the number two receiver is the tight end, will be here. Now, his responsibility is to reroute an outside release to a safety waiting on it so that there's not a lot of stress on the safety who has to read both linebacker and wide receiver. Now, let's run it. I'll slow it down. Now, the linebacker has to now reroute the tight end, but he doesn't, and the tight end splits the two safeties. There's a safety, there's a safety. Without linebacker help, the tight end walks into the end zone.
And that game last week against the Bengals, Lance, is a great example of some of the close games the Chargers have lost this year. They've been up and down. They beat a team like the Chiefs, but then they lose to a team like the Raiders. And every game that they've lost, they've been in late in the fourth quarter.
Seven losses decided by 10 points or less. Then you have four of the six decided by 6 points. And then you have three games which came down to 15 seconds left in which they lost heartbreakers. So you're talking about a lot of competitive games, but it's the lack of execution in closing them out.
They've actually outscored their opponents this year. And a lot of that has to do with their head coach, Mike McCoy. He simplified the offense. They've cut down on their turnovers, just 16 this year, but just 11 takeaways. They're minus five. But this offense has certainly improved and has been tailored to their quarterback.
He's the former Broncos offensive coordinator. So, John, as you alluded to, he brought over Denver's system and modeled it around Phillip Rivers. And Phillip Rivers has been prone for throwing a lot of interceptions over the course of his career, only 9 this season, 23 touchdowns. So he feels very comfortable in this system because it's involving high percentage tosses.
And Terrell Thomas talked about what exactly that Mike McCoy offensive system entails.
They're running a lot of crossing routes and really putting a lot of pressure on your defenders to pass things along, to communicate out there and letting the receivers make plays. So he's done a good job getting the ball out. You know, our job is obviously to pressure him, keep pressure in his face so he can't step up, and if they do catch the ball, make the tackle.
And Lance, this Charger offense has been one of the best in football. Number one in the NFL in terms of yards per play. Top five in total offense. This is the best offense the Giants will see all year and the best since they played the Broncos in week number two.
And how about third down efficiency? Number two in the league, 46%. Why? Because of all these short passes, John, they're getting very manageable third down situations. And you mentioned that the San Diego offense is unique because it involves so many different players. Phillip Rivers spreads the wealth, as you'll see in the video. He uses the running backs out of the backfield in the flat, and then you have five players with at least 33 receptions. That means there's not one go-to guy on this squad.
They'll throw to both running backs, they'll throw to two tight ends, and they'll throw to their wide receivers as well. So the Giants will be prepared for this very unique Chargers offense, but the guy that leads it is Phillip Rivers, who Anchorage believes is a lot better than the last time the Giants saw him.
They've done some things differently with the offense, and also, like I said, you know, his decision making is a lot more crisp, you know, this year, and you know, he's not taking too many sacks. He's very decisive what he wants to do with the football.
And that goes to our next Twitter question. This one comes in from @GruenBen. Where does Rivers rank, Lance, amongst today's NFL quarterbacks? You could argue he's having the second best year after Peyton Manning.
Well, he's tremendous with protecting the football this season compared to previous campaigns where he was very careless with protecting the football. Would you consider him an elite quarterback? No, but I think he's in that second class where he's a solid quarterback. He throws for a lot of yards. He gets the offense moving. And let's not forget, he engineered one of the best offenses in the NFL when LaDainian Tomlinson was his running back, and he got the Chargers to the playoffs 4 consecutive years, including one appearance in the conference championship game.
He has the weapons, and he has the protection. This offensive line for the Chargers has had 16 different combinations this year, yet Rivers has only been sacked 22 times. It's probably going to be shuffled again this week. King Dunlop is probable in this game. He'll go back to left tackle. That moves rookie DJ Fluker back to the right side, but they've kept Phillip Rivers upright.
And you wonder if you want to do that if you're San Diego, John, because the last three games they've actually had consistency with the offensive line. Giants fans are looking at the Giants offensive line and they're saying, oh my God, it's been a mess this season. You look at San Diego, 16 different alignments, like you mentioned. Amazing that they have protected Phillip Rivers so effectively over the course of this season. I think that says a lot about the system.
And of course, there will be an internal connection between the Giants and the Chargers with that trade that brought Eli Manning here back in 2004. A couple years after that trade, Giant fans were raising their eyebrows. Oh, maybe we gave up too much for this guy. But I think those two Super Bowl trophies probably made Giant fans change their mind.
When you win hardware, it solves everything. And Ben Roethlisberger was also in that 2004 draft class. So they've produced a lot of solid quarterbacks. Even Matt Schaub was in the mix. Maybe you compare it to the group from last season with RG3, Andrew Luck, and Russell Wilson. Very rare that you see that many productive QBs in one class.
A very big day in the life of Giants quarterback Eli Manning. And it's a day you'll never forget. He talked to the media about what he remembers from that very special day back in 2004.
Obviously the excitement of being drafted and then traded to the Giants. And
after this break, we'll be breaking
You know, a lot of things obviously went down that day, but ultimately, you know, I remember it as a positive day and you know, a fun day in my life.
And you look at the quarterbacks in that draft, Lance, and I'm pretty sure all these teams are probably pretty happy with how this thing went down. Ben Roethlisberger, a couple Super Bowls. Eli, two Super Bowls. Rivers doesn't have one, but he certainly brought them to an AFC Championship game. And it looks like now that he has some weapons around him, he's playing top-notch football once more.
And the fact that they've had so many injuries on offense, John, the fact that he's been able to keep it relatively consistent speaks volumes about the level of play that he showcased this season. And how about the fact that all of these guys were drafted in 2004 and they're still under center with their respective teams? So that also goes to show you that those teams made wise choices to build their franchises around that type of quarterback.
A very good draft class. And now some people are doing a little comparison. What draft class was better? The 04 draft class, or was it the draft class from 2 years ago with Robert Griffin III, with Andrew Luck, guys like that?
And I think it's still early to tell. I mean, a lot of the 2011 class, we're still going to have to see how these guys pan out. RG3 has taken a step back because of the ACL injury. Andrew Luck has had some rough patches. And clearly a lot of these other quarterbacks have to get well adapted to the variety of defenses. These other QBs from 04, they've won some hardware, so they've had a great deal of success.
I think a lesson can be learned, though, if you're a Giant fan, looking at the ups and downs of Phillip Rivers. And he went through a down period there, and it was because of the talent around them. When people want to get on Eli Manning for maybe his numbers not being the same this year, I think you have to look at the external factors, protection, wide receivers, things like that, for why maybe he's not having the year he's had in years past.
Phillip Rivers has had very shaky protection during the course of his career. Eli Manning had the luxury of a solid O-line, and as you mentioned, John, now all of a sudden things break apart, your production falls off.
Folks, still plenty more to go. We'll be right back on Big Blue Hits, fueled by Hess on Giants.com.
This is an important message for all Giants fans attending the games at MetLife Stadium. In an effort to enhance public safety, a new NFL bag policy will be implemented this season. Guests are welcome to carry in clear bags, 12 inches by 6 by 12, or small purses and handbags that are 4.5 by 6.5 inches or less in size. Any non-clear bag exceeding the size limit, including camera or binocular cases, will not be permitted. The Giants appreciate your assistance and cooperation with the following policies. For more information, go to Giants.com.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified, authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Giants and Chargers coming away on Sunday. Giants win their second straight. John Schmelk, Lance Meadow with you on Big Blue Hits Friday, fueled by Hess. And Lance, you look at this Chargers offense, it's the best in the league. Well, can you imagine how effective it might be if they didn't lose their two starting wide receivers at the start of the year, Denari Alexander and Malcolm Floyd?
12 touchdowns they combined for in 2012. These were Phillip Rivers' top two targets. You remove them from the equation, but what happens? Other guys step up, such as Keenan Allen, Vincent Brown, who missed 2012 with an ankle injury. So they've been very fortunate that some of their depth chart has been able to be exposed and come through with some big numbers.
And Keenan Allen, the rookie third-round pick, 58 catches, 843 yards, three touchdowns. Giants cornerback Terrell Thomas likes what he sees from the rookie.
You know, he's solid, man. I think he had like 9 yards receiving as a rookie already. I mean, I thought he was good in college. I remember watching him at Cal. So he's been making plays for him. He's a playmaker. You know, he looks real confident out there. And the other guys are pretty solid as well. But he's been the main guy that's really stepped up.
And you have to be impressed. It usually takes a wide receiver a few years to get going in the NFL, Lance. But Keenan Allen has picked up very quickly, and he's the number one target outside for Phillip Rivers.
Third round pick from this previous draft, and he leads all rookies in receptions and receiving yards. He has 5 100-yard receiving games. He's a playmaker, and Phillip Rivers has built some chemistry with him, and they also are on the same page game in and game out, because it's not as if this guy was a one-game fluke. Consistently, he's been putting up very solid numbers.
Vincent Brown on the other side, a wide receiver. And the other weapon they have is, of course, Mr. Reliable, Antonio Gates.
Antonio Gates has been around forever, it seems, and like a fine wine, he just keeps getting better with age. They also use a lot of double tight end formations. The biggest issue with Antonio Gates this season is he's been dealing with a hamstring injury, so that has held him back somewhat. But if you're a linebacker on the Giants, you always have to be aware of where he is on the field.
And Ladarius Green, the other tight end you mentioned, 4-4 speed. They like him as a deep threat down the field. The other guy the Chargers like to get the ball to is Danny Woodhead. He leads all running backs in receiving yards and receptions. Linebacker John Beeson knows he's going to be a number one target for Phillip Rivers.
He's one of those guys, he's overcome the odds, and I think he keeps that chip on his shoulders. You know, Steve Smith is the same way. You know, a guy who's going to go out there and lay it on the line because he's always trying to prove himself. He never feels like he's arrived. So, you know, from a distance, you're a fan just watching him. Love the way he plays. He's hard. He's a tough-nosed kid. I mean, playing against him in New York when he was here with the Jets.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a great football player, but, you know, he does some things out of the backfield where, you know, with 4-4 speed, you know, Sprozy down in New Orleans does the same thing. It's hard to contain those guys out of the backfield.
And that brings us to our next Twitter question. Is Danny Woodhead, Lance, this one from at Ryan Gibson 96, is Danny Woodhead the biggest threat to the Giants defense on Sunday? Just some numbers, 288 rushing yards, 61 catches, 482 yards receiving.
He's the most versatile player that they're going to showcase. He's a pest. I think that's the best way to describe him. A nightmare for linebackers. John Beeson had 17 tackles last week in the victory against the Redskins. They're going to need him to duplicate that because Woodhead will run. He will also jump out of the backfield into the flat, make catches, and the yardage after the catch is what makes him so dangerous. In the game earlier this season against the Chiefs, he made some heads-up plays where it looked like he was going to run out of play, faked that, ran up the sideline, bought them some extra time, gave them some extra yards. So you've got to do some damage control when he's on the field.
And with the short passing game in general, not just at Woodhead, but also the tight ends and the wide receivers, the Giants' defensive backs are going to have to tackle. They want to get yards after the catch, and it's been something the Giants secondary has been pretty good at all year long.
Yeah, don't take a page out of the Chargers playbook. They can't tackle too well. The Giants can't afford to follow that same script. They have to be well disciplined, and it's not just tackling, John. It's staying in your gap and having the communication be key, because they run a lot of slants, a lot of crosses. Guys are going to be running right to left, left to right, vice versa.
Linebackers have to be very aware in those zone defenses. Now, Woodhead also has a good running mate at running back. And that, of course, is Matthews. He's a guy that's been hurt his first couple years in the league. He's gotten a lot better this year. He stayed healthy, nearly 4.5 yards per carry, nearly 800 yards on the ground.
Has yet to play a full 16-game slate. This could be his first one since he came in the league a few years ago. So that's been a positive. When he gets about 60 yards, John, they're 4-2 this season. So clearly, when he's productive and doing his damage on the ground, he's a nice complement and balance with Danny Woodhead, and they provide a nice 1-2 punch.
Ryan Matthews, they're waiting for him to step up, and he really has this year. I want to jump to the other side of the ball very quickly, Lance. This Chargers defense this year has been extremely poor. They've given up a ton of yards, most yards per play in the NFL. The Giants should be losing some damage this week.
But how many times have we talked about this theme, John, where you look at a defense and you say the Giants should be licking their chops, the Redskins, the Panthers, and the numbers haven't necessarily showed up in the box score. So you got to be cautiously optimistic that they could take advantage of a San Diego secondary that has a lot of youth, as well as the entire D. 8 of the 11 starters were drafted between 2010 and 2013. So John Pagano is working with a youth movement. Why? Because he's lost 90% of his veteran leadership.
And the Chargers defense, awful on first down. They're allowing opposing teams to average 5.3 yards per carry on first down. They are vulnerable to the run.
And the Giants could use that because they have not been doing very well on third down. And this is a Giants team that's been providing more balance over the last few games. So you want to dictate the tone on the ground. They weren't too good in that category against the Redskins. Previously against the Cowboys, though, they were very effective.
Real quick, Lance, against the pass, they like the blitz, bring the pressure. No real good individual pass rushers.
29 sacks as a team. That ranks them 21st in the league. So in the bottom of the pack. However, they spread the wealth because six players have at least 2 sacks. So there's some weapons, but they don't have any consistency in that category.
The Giants will have to communicate on the offensive line to get the job done. That's all the time we have. Lance, thanks as always.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us, everybody, on Big Blue Hits Friday, fueled by Hess on Giants.com. For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmelk. Enjoy the game on Sunday, everybody. Have a great one.